case, in essence, is this. Since the obscenity of the Nazi Holocaust and Israel's unilateral declaration of existence in 1948 informed an honest debate about who must do what and why for peace in the Middle East has not been possible throughout the mainly Gentile Judeo-Christian world. Why not? Because its first and still existing draft of history is constructed on Zionist mythology, which is underpinned by the assumption that Zionism and Judaism, the religion of Jews, are one and the same thing. They are absolutely not. In terms of values and ethics, they are total opposites. And that's one of the reasons why it's perfectly possible to be passionately anti-Zionist without being in any way, shape or form anti-Semitic. Now, the first thing informed and honest debate needs is a definition of Zionism, because almost nobody understands what Zionism is. It is the nationalism of some Jews, actually a tiny minority of Jews at the time of the first Zionist mission statement in 1897, the nationalism which colonized land, Palestine, to create a state for Jews, an enterprise which required the incoming alien Zionist colonizers to ethnically cleanse the land of its Arab inhabitants. Now, it's still not politically correct to say so in today's world. Israel was created by Zionist terrorism and ethnic cleansing. Now, the core assertion of everything the media has taught us to believe, and I hope to make people believe it in my reporting days, the core assertion is this: that poor little Israel has lived in danger of annihilation, the driving into the sea of its Jews. The truth of history, the documented truth of history, is that Israel's existence has never, ever been in danger from any combination of Arab force. Zionism's assertion to the contrary was the cover which allowed Israel to get away where it mattered most in American Western Europe, with having its aggression perceived as self-defense. And the consequence of all this spin, all this propaganda, is the perception of Israel as the victim, when actually it is the aggressor. I will tell you one thing. I believe, and all experts that I know, including many, many Jewish friends, believe that it's now already too late for what was called the two-state solution. There is now only one scenario. There is now either going to be one state for all in Palestine, all Jews now there, and all Palestinians, or there is going to be one catastrophe for all. And I'll tell you a truthful secret story, although it's in my book. In 1980, because Carter had been blocked from bringing the PLO into the negotiating process, I was asked to undertake a secret peace initiative and try and get a dialogue going between Arafat, the chairman of the PLO, and Shimon Peres, who was then the leader of the Labour Party, expected to become the next Prime Minister. My task, and I was working to a secret Security Council briefing, I was funded by two great Jewish Englishmen, Marcus Seaver of Marks and Spencer's, with the approval of Lord Victor Rothschild. My task was to use 18 months to get the two of them into dialogue so we could agree that when Peres become Prime Minister, we get Prime Minister. Anyway, the story I want to tell you is this. When I sat down with Peres for the first time for this shuttle, he said to me, this is February 1980, he said to me, Alan, it's already too late. I said, what do you mean? He said, every day that passes sees new bricks on new settlements. Begin knows exactly what he's doing. He is creating, by stuffing the West Bank with settlers, he is creating the conditions for a Jewish civil war. He knows, said Peres to me, no Israeli Prime Minister is going down in history as the one who gave the order to the Jewish army to shoot large numbers of Jews to get them out. Ladies and gentlemen, if it was too late in 1980 when there are 70,000 settlers there, how much more too late is it today when there are 500,000 and the number is growing daily with the assistance of the Christian Zionists? There is no way there is now any solution, one state for all or catastrophe for all. I would just like to remind us all again, we're united and we hope you're united. The ordinary peoples of nations are not as stupid and as uncaring as they're assumed by the media and our politicians to be. Let us never lose sight of that.